Hi, I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee, Executive Editor at Information Security Media Group. I'm here at HealthSec in Boston, speaking with Brian Chinowski, who is Deputy CISO at Nuvance Health. Welcome, Brian.
Hey, welcome. Thank you for having me, Marianne.
So, Brian, just for starters, tell us a little bit about Nuvance Health and what you're responsible for as Deputy CISO.
Sure. So, Nuvance Health is a 7-hospital system, 100-plus off-sites in Connecticut and New York. My responsibilities as Deputy CISO include strategy, budgeting, project alignment, staffing, metrics, and incident response.
So, speaking of incident response, you're speaking here at the conference about how to build a stronger incident response strategy. What's your take on some of the major incidents we've seen so far this year, including Change Healthcare? What's your assessment of how the healthcare sector is doing with their incident response?
Yeah, so Change Healthcare was very impactful to our organization. And I think what we're learning from this and what other organizations are learning from this is that the volume is not going to go down. So basically, take the lessons learned from Change Healthcare and these other incidents and apply to your organization to continue to mature your incident response.
And now, what are some of the most common gaps in incident response strategies, and what do you think some of the factors are in terms of delaying incident response?
Sure. So, I think where we started at Nuvance and even my prior organizations is incident response was mainly a IT function. IT is responsible for incident response. That's not the truth because this is impacting the business now. So what you're seeing is IT bringing in business units, bringing in executive leaders as part of the incident response team to kind of work through these the management of an incident.
And what are some of the key lessons you think that are emerging about incident response in terms of the Change Healthcare attack and the devastating impact that it had on so many entities?
I think what you're seeing is that organizations just simply aren't prepared for such a large incident. I mean, this one impacted 90 plus of the healthcare organizations out there. Tremendously impactful. So I think really the lessons learned from this is to review your documentation, review your incident response policy, your incident response plan, your runbook, so you're better prepared for when this, the next incident comes on, hits you.
And when it does involve a third party like Change, sometimes organizations feel like they don't have much control over the situation other than to just shut things down, disconnect from that vendor. How prepared are most organizations to shut off a critical vendor such as that? And what lessons come out of this whole episode?
Yeah, so and we just heard in our last discussion where, one of the panelists stated that as soon as they catch wind of an incident, they immediately shut everything down. We're a little more conservative that approach. I mean, we still want to act in that manner, but we also do our due diligence to ensure that it's not going to impact patient lives. It's a lot easier said than done, just turn something off, but what is the impact of making that decision?
And so now, what are some of the steps that you're taking to improve your own incident response based on things that we've been seeing in the industry, Change and other sorts of attacks that don't affect you, but they affect another organization in a way that could affect you because it's a hospital or a health system or whatever?
Sure. So we've actually, we're in the midst of a cybersecurity resiliency assessment being conducted by a third party that will help us better anticipate, prepare for, respond to, and recover from an incident. We've actually also increased the frequency of our tabletop exercises. Very important, again, beyond just IT, bringing in the business units, bringing in the executive leaders. Everybody's part of that security team when there's an incident to hopefully get better at practice. So when you have your policy, when you have your plan, when you have your run books, you got to practice it. You got to tweak it. You got to learn it. Everybody's got to be comfortable with it. So the best way of doing that is to have these frequent exercises.
And what else is keeping you up late at night thinking about cybersecurity and the threats besides ransomware and critical incidents at critical vendors? What else are you worried about?
There's a lot of stressors in cybersecurity in healthcare. I've been in healthcare for more than 14 years now, and really it's still the biggest thing that keeps me awake is an incident that impacts one of our medical devices that potentially takes that offline that, you know, could directly impact a patient's life. That's what keeps me up at night.
And do you think the medical device industry is doing enough? I know there's been changes with the FDA in terms of new products and things that these vendors need to be submitting to the FDA about their cybersecurity plans. But how about with all the other older products, the legacy products? What's your take on getting a better handle of those risks?
In healthcare, in our organization and many other healthcare organizations, we have a lot of legacy equipment. Some of these equipment have been here 20, 25 years. So I think the FDA, I think the manufacturers are doing a better job now, but we still have all this legacy equipment, in some cases end of life, that can't be patched. How do you address that? I mean, so one of the things that we're doing on our end is we have network segmentation in place for our medical devices and even, you know, our user community, but focusing on the medical devices. So, you know, a typical user like myself can't access any of our medical devices on a separate, isolated network.
And finally, are there any promising cybersecurity technologies you're keeping your eye on these days? And what are you watching?
Okay, so I would have to mention something about AI. So, you know, that's the hot topic here. That's the hot topic pretty much everywhere. I think there's a lot of value with AI. I truly do. And I think there's also a lot of risk associated with AI. You know, that's the concerning piece. So a lot of value, a lot of risk, navigating that, seeing what guardrails are going to be put in place by manufacturers, other institutions that we could potentially leverage to reduce the risk of that.
And if you drill down a little bit in terms of AI and security products, anything in particular that is useful?
Yeah, so it's funny. AI is not a new concept. Vendors have been using AI before the name AI for years. Now it's just being more heavily promoted. You know, a lot of the automation that we're doing within our security operations is leveraging AI. So I think that's really a big piece of it as far as you know, what we're doing in security is on the security operations side is, you know, using artificial intelligence to continue to mature our program at a faster rate because the threat landscape is changing very, very fast. We have to try to find a way to keep up. AI probably gives us the best opportunity in doing that.
Well, thanks so much, Brian. I've been speaking with Brian Chinowski. I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.